FAI may go for a short-term Kenny contract. If I was Stephen Kenny, they'd come and say, oh, we'll give you a contract for two more games. I'd be like, nope, nope. Find a new manager, lads. Off you go. Go on, find a new manager and see what happens.
OTB AM, live, weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
8:45, Irish rugby is the main creme de la creme of talking points at the minute. Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
You're doing your last bit of genning up there before we stick you with some of the tough questions. What it's some of the I don't know if you picked up any of the papers this morning, but some of the team has been as tends to happen. It's interesting to see that it looks like an Andy Farrell team is a team that gets leaked. But by and large, outside of the couple of enforced changes in the halfbacks, particularly that it'll be same old, which feels a little bit disappointing to me. What's your view on it?
Yeah, a little bit. I would have liked to see Craig Casey. This is all speculation, I think. I was a little bit surprised that the forward pack is pretty much the same. And Balakun is the only kind of new face we're going to see in there. Robbie Henshaw being back is obviously a boost. But look, I suppose they're giving Argentina the respect that they deserve, and they probably want to finish on a high. If you mix and match and make loads of changes, do you lose the game? Of course it's important to win it, but probably would have liked to have seen a few more changes in the team.
Yeah, well, like, would you nearly not get a free shot at it in some ways? Like, on the basis of what happened last weekend, if you're ever going to have a bit of a sampler to have a look at, like, look, I think if you're Gavin Coombs this morning, if you're Craig Casey, if you're Ryan Baird, some of these players who are hoping to get a bit of a shot, like, look, they probably already know the team, but if you're reading that this morning, like, even from that point of view, it must be incredibly deflating.
Yeah, I thought that that was the plan. Again, I was speculating, so I'm not sure at the start that I said it to you a couple of weeks ago, that it would be a very strong team for Japan, the team that would probably take on New Zealand. Because they needed a game together, and I really thought this one was a game that they would mix a few guys in, and yeah, they'd be very, very disappointed if they weren't getting games and not getting an opportunity in this. I'm sure the bench will reflect some new players there, but it would have been nice to see two or three more of them get into the team and see what they can do at the weekend.
Who would you have put in, Quinny, if you were trying to give somebody their shot and a bit of experience? Who would you have had in there?
I would have liked to have seen Kieran Frawley. I would have liked to have seen something from him to see if he could do something. I'm sure Harry Byrne will probably be up on the bench. Maybe Jack Carty will jump right into the bench. Ryan Baird, maybe, yeah, he would have been one. Even Dan Sheehan starting a game would have been something. I would have liked to have seen Craig Casey with Joey Carberry and see what he can do there. And he's developing all the time, Craig Casey, and I think he can be, you know, an integral part of what Ireland want to do in the next number of years. He's so young, and he can play that high tempo game as well. And he's shown that and proved that, particularly in the under-20s. So, yeah, there's a couple there. I'm not sure you could make that many changes because you don't want to completely kind of take away the bit of continuity that they've built, but maybe two or three more into the team. I'm really glad that Balakun looks like he's going to get a start. Again, we're speculating on the team. It looks like it's Balakun will play on the right wing.
You're a big fan, Quinny. So, I remember we chatted about him a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I'm a fan, Adrian, because you can coach lots of things in lots of people, but you can't, you know, out and out pace is something that it's hard to it's you know, you can't compete with that. Of course, he's got to be a decent rugby player and do the other parts of the game that are really important. There's no point in having a guy that's really quick there and he's poor defensively or he's poor under the high ball. I think this guy has incredible potential. He's still developing. Is he ready to start? And you know, he's probably still getting better, but if you can give someone a ball like him in any little bit of space, and that kind of acceleration pace is something that it's hard to beat. So hopefully he can get some quality ball. And I think for anyone thinking that this is going to be kind of easy, and look, I'm sure that's how the Irish management have viewed this. Argentina are always very, very difficult to play against. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, what was it like to play against Argentina? And I don't know, the first thing that comes to head is you're just playing a team that are in your face all the time. There's probably 15 Alan Quinlans playing against you. just constantly, like, annoying you, putting pressure on you, bringing unbelievable passion. I'm not saying that I did all that. I probably was good at the annoying part and being in people's faces and frustrating people and, you know, being offside or slowing opposition ball down, stuff like that. I could say I was probably good at that stuff. But they're very, very competitive and they're hard to play against at times. And they're the kind of team that if you play again, if you kind of think it's going to happen and you drop your kind of intensity a little bit, they could really frustrate you and make it a really, really difficult game. So, look, it's only over 12 months ago when we struggled to beat Georgia.
Yeah.
So maybe we will get a bit of a reality check that, you know, this team is still needs to develop and they need to cope and deal with playing a team like that who they're incredibly talented as well. So don't get me wrong. There's some brilliant talented players here. And we've struggled against Argentina. You know, they knocked us out of two World Cups or three World Cups. I can't remember. 15, 2007 and
99.
So it's and 99 as well. Yeah, it's three World Cups. Yeah. So they kind of know how to get in amongst Ireland and frustrate them. We've beaten them in a lot of these November tests over the years. So I think that's probably the reason why it's a kind of it's a risk reward scenario, and I think the Irish management want to try and finish on a high. And look, he has capped a lot of players, and I think it's important that we say that and people realise that there's over 20 players been capped by Andy Farrell in the last 18 months or 2 years since he took over. So it's not as if he's stuck with the tried and trusted all the time. He's capped a lot of players. Maybe one or two more into this team would have been what I would have liked to have seen, but I'm sure we'd see it off the bench.
Is there quite a big gap at the moment, Alan, between, say, those people who are kind of rotation players? Say, you take Joey Carberry, who's got over his 20 caps at this point and is relatively experienced, and some of the players you mentioned there, like Ryan Baird, Craig Casey, Kieran Frawley, who only have a handful of caps between them, that there is a huge drop-off experience-wise when you get to those players, and actually trying to filter them into a game against a quality team like Argentina is just actually a really tricky thing to do. It's actually the summer tours when the Lions are away, for example, which is their real opportunity when you've only got two or three caps.
Yeah, I think that's an issue. You make wholesale changes on, and I've said this provincially before with Munster, and I said it at the time. I've always kind of believed at the time I was playing myself that if you bring seven or eight new players into a team, you do lose a bit of continuity. You lose that bit of cohesion that you've built up, and the team can then have a bad performance, and there's seven or eight players then can get labelled with being not good enough. I always kind of thought myself, play two guys or three guys with 12 experienced players that are your normal starters. You can make wholesale changes because you do lose too much. I'm sure we'll see some of these guys off the bench. I would have liked to have seen Simon Zeebo. You know, he's in the squad and he's not going to have any involvement here. I would have liked to have seen him maybe as an option fullback. We know Hugo Keenan has taken over that jersey now, and he's been absolutely brilliant, and he's the number one choice at fullback. But if something happens, Hugo Keenan, and you've got to shuffle the deck a little bit, it would have been nice maybe to see Zeebo there and see if he could, you know, what he can do. I'm sure he's brought massive enthusiasm to be back in the Irish squad. That is the concern. But like, if you make seven changes, you do lose a little bit. And then Monday morning, we'll be saying these players are not good enough, which sometimes is a bit unfair. So I'm sure Craig Casey will get involvement. Maybe Harry Byrne, Kieran Frawley. I would like to have seen him involved. James Hume is another really talented player, but unfortunately, you can't have them all involved, and that's the reality. You mentioned Gavin Coombs as well. You know, people are very excited about him. He's been sick for the last few weeks. Will he get off the bench and get some more game time? The back row were absolutely brilliant the last 2 weeks, so they're the number one back row now at the moment. But it would have been like nice to see Coombs as well.
Yeah. And Jack Harty, you mentioned as well. I thought he'd been totally jettisoned from the squad, never to be seen again. But I was sat right behind the post, Quinny, on Saturday, and there he was going around in his tracksuit as whatever it must have been, number 30 in the squad, whatever it was. But he's obviously somewhere in the mix. Will you talk to us as well just a little bit about the aftermath of one of the comments that jumped out of me from the game afterwards? Sexton talking about the slight tweak in the mental approach from the Ireland side, and they've been doing a lot of work obviously with Gary Keegan, but he said specifically, you know, there's a point in the game where maybe previously, and I was somewhat surprised by it, that Ireland might have actually just packed up their bags and said, well, look, we've come close, but we're not going to get it done. But that ability to grind it out, that is of all the shifts in what we've seen, you mentioned the Georgia game a year ago, that's a huge one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, I think, and that comes from, a drive and desire within the group. I think they've, I can only imagine what they were feeling probably for the last 2 years and how challenging and difficult it can be. You know, you're getting scrutinised a lot. You're scratching your head about some of the performances and going right back to that World Cup where things started to unravel a little bit. And they've tried to change the way they play, change their mentality, as you say. But there's a lot of experience in the group and you're going to have ups and downs for any sports person. So I'm sure they've drawn on that experience. And it's amazing. It's funny. Sometimes, and I've experienced it myself in my own career, you just, something clicks and you feel that something you've been working on in training just is starting to happen. And it's not necessarily the end product with the last two passes for the try, but it's maybe the shape, the quality of the carry, the execution of the line out, if you're taking it off the back of the line out and you know, taking it up through the middle, and trying to build some sort of a plan and a shape to try and upset the opposition or attack the opposition, and something sticks and something happens, and then you start to believe that these things are attainable. And I think they've probably had those moments in the last few months. And I think it was particularly at the end of the Six Nations. You know, if you go back to the France game in the Six Nations, where, you know, they did a lot of good things. James Lowe nearly scores the try in the corner and he was put in touch and, you know, wind on to the end of the game. They're losing it by 2 points and they're chasing the game. Things not happening. Momentum not going their way. So I think they, you know, the couple of big things happened. The win in Scotland was really vital from a mental point of view. Sexton nailing the kick to win it after being in a really good position. So you kind of draw on that stuff. And look, there's no quick fix solution to becoming mentally strong and using that as a resource to get you over the line. But I kind of had the feeling myself in commentary last week that you just kind of know by body shape and the body language of players that even if New Zealand scored that try and was given by Ioane, that I thought, you know, New Zealand would have went in head, an easy conversion to kick. I just kind of said to myself, right, you know, they'll be able to come back down the field and the way they've played, they'll attack him again. Maybe they'll get a penalty and win it. So if I was kind of feeling that, you feel that from the team as well. So they've obviously drawn on a lot. Like when you're in a negative place and, you know, just look at Liverpool last year losing the six games and on the trot. When things start going wrong for you and you get one or two injuries and people start piling the pressure on, it just, the opposition sense of vulnerability And I think, you know, particularly in the last couple of years with a couple of big beatings from England, they set a kind of a template about how you take on Ireland, how you stop them playing and how you slow them down. And I think they've obviously tried to change that approach and tried to put more kind of pace into their game and get better attacking shape. So it's a long answer, but I think they probably have got those moments in training where things are starting to stick a little bit, and it does create a little bit of confidence.
Yeah. And again, of course, look at everything in the context of the World Cup. I want to ask you as well, before we let you away, Ireland-Japan tomorrow, RDS, 3 o'clock. People should get down to it. A few new caps on the bench. We've Ciara Griffin signing off, Adam Griggs signing off, and yet another new out half, Quinny.
Yeah, it's there's been a fair bit of change, and it's been a bit of turmoil for the women's team. But I think it'd be nice if they finished on a high. I think they've been through a fair bit, and it's amazing the way people have spoke about Ciara Griffin. I don't know her, but from what I was hearing, she's an incredible professional and really driven and passionate about playing for her country. And it's sad to see her go at 27, but they've been through a fair bit, and they've got to kind of rebuild with Greg McWilliams coming in. It's the start of a new era. There's a couple of players obviously off with the sevens, and that's kind of taking preference over these games, because obviously they're not World Cup qualifiers, but hopefully they can finish on a high, get a good win against Japan, and kind of turn the page with this team and start building towards the future for them. And I think, look, Greg McWilliams is a really good appointment, and hopefully they can, you know, he can bring in some change and bring a bit of enthusiasm. There's three new caps on the bench as well, so you sense there's a bit of a transitional period here with the team.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy the game of the weekend. Thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Alan Quinlan on the line there, co-host of the Red 78 podcast, and you can get that wherever you pick up your podcasts. It's all things Munster, Quinny and Niamh Briggs picking through all the latest events, and available weekly as well. So the Red 78 podcast, worth your while.
OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.